We're joined today by our good friend Richard Hirschman and also Wallace Hooker, another funeral director, a coroner, and also experienced embalmer, to talk about some of the findings of people all around the world, including embalmers, funeral directors. It is such an honor to have you both on with me today, gentlemen. Thank you for your time.
Sure. Glad to be here.
Well, the audience is already very familiar with Richard and his findings. Wallace, I'd really love for you to just give us a brief overview of your history, how long you've been doing this and your expertise.
I've been in funeral service about 30 years. I've been with the coroner's office almost the same amount of time. In my own funeral home, along with our regular services that we handle, we do trade embalmings for other funeral homes. And do between 200 and 250 per year on top of our own caseload. So, you know, we have a wide variety of bodies coming through our facility that present to us the same kind of things that Richard's been seeing. And as I lecture around the country to funeral director associations, I always show slides of what we're seeing and ask how many in the audience has seen those types of things. And it's all across the country, from Ohio to Iowa, Oklahoma, Kansas, Illinois, all the states in between. And then I have a social presence in some embalming pages, I'm hearing from people all across the country. And routinely, just like Richard, I have people reaching out to me, sharing their experiences and sending photos. So it's not just us. And for the people out there that's trying to diminish and dismiss what we're seeing, it just, encourages us to keep telling the story. You know, we don't have the answers. We're looking for answers. We're using what we're seeing, what we're experiencing, and sharing with those who, as I've said before, and Richard heard me said it, there are people with a pay grade greater than ours that should be able to find answers to what these structures are that we're seeing. And, you know, they made an appearance at an interesting time, if you will, a peculiar time. And so as we've paid attention to what we're seeing and shared that with other colleagues, we're just hoping what we can find could perhaps go a long way to perhaps making people healthier and saving lives.
Absolutely. And people with a much higher pay grade, as you say, and many more resources to be able to look into this. The answer isn't to just dismiss it. The answer is to actually investigate it. Now, Richard, I know that Mike Adams has come back with his findings. He said what he believes that these are composed of. There's tin, there's other conductive metals that are being found inside some of these strange clots. Can you talk to us about that? Is there anyone else who's confirmed these findings? Do we know any more?
Well, I don't know any more from what Mike Adams has put out. I do know that Dr. Ryan Cole is been looking at these as well. I have sent him samples since the last time we've talked. I've met him, and he's one of the first doctors that I had sent samples to. And he's saying that these are some kind of an amyloid-like protein misfolding, and they're not postmortem. He doesn't believe they're postmortem, but he's getting samples of these clots, not just from me, which I've already sent him probably 20 some samples, but he's getting them from surgeons around the country, from living people. So they're not normal clots, and exactly what they're made of and how they're composed and all that stuff, that's above my pay grade. You know, even Mike Adams with his analysis, I mean, you know, to me, you know, it looks like a bunch of numbers and letters on a chart. I don't quite understand it. So I leave that to the experts. I just know, you know, what I see, and these are not normal. And therefore, you know, I put it out there for them, the experts, like Wallace was just trying to say, you know, pay grade's much higher than ours to determine what it is, what's causing it, and in hopes to find ways of breaking this stuff down.
Absolutely. Wallace, you mentioned that many embalmers finding this around not just the country but the world, and Richard, you're saying surgeons as well finding it in living people. So Wallace, for the people that are saying that these look like the regular clots, I mean, are these people saying that they've seen this before in their careers, or it is similar to what they've seen before in their careers?
Well, since we beginning of time, I guess, with embalming, as long as I've been at it, there were always clots, smaller in nature compared to what we're seeing today. And the white fibrin structures that are so large today, I hadn't seen anything that large other than just a small type of structures until the last 16 or 18 months. And I lectured to the Ohio Embalmers Association a couple of weeks ago, and I showed the photos, and I asked those in attendance, and there were about 100 embalmers in the room. I asked how many had in the last 16 to 18 months had seen structures similar to these, larger in size, more significant in size than they had seen prior to 18 months ago. Everyone in the room raised their hand. Virtually everyone in the room raised their hand. And as we talked just a little more, I said, this isn't political. I'm just trying to find answers, folks. And so most of you are telling me that you had not seen these prior in your careers to 16, 18 months ago. And again, the same number of hands went up. And we always have these people trying to play it down that said they've seen these. And Richard and I have communicated, I don't know what, Richard, for a year and a half. And as we talked about seeing these blood clots, people would argue with us and say they've always seen blood clots. So I suggested to Richard or sometime in our conversation that perhaps we shouldn't call these big structures blood clots because they don't possess the embodiment, if you will, of being a blood clot. They're more of a fibrin structure, which separates them from current jelly clots that are more common that could form post-mortem. But these bigger white fibrin structures that are being removed by cardiologists and surgeons, you know, they're not forming after death. They're present in the body while the body's still thriving.
And what are the cardiologists and surgeons saying about this, or you know, have they seen these clots before? Is it new to them as well?
You know, I visited with my cardiologist this summer for an annual checkup, and at the end of the examination, I asked him if I could share some photos with him. So I shared photos of clots and white fibrin structures that I'd recovered and that Richard and some others had shared with me. And my doctor, who is a cardiologist and a cardiovascular surgeon, told me that, yes, they are seeing clots that they had not seen before, and they are studying these. And that's pretty much all he told me. And I said, by studying, what do you mean you're studying them? And he says, well, we're looking into it. And
well, that's comforting.
He went on to explain to me that he still thought it was important that people be vaccinated, that both he and his wife, who is a doctor as well, were double and triple vaccinated. And he looked at me and he said, and I respect your decision not to be. And so my question is, if Richard and I don't know what the cause of these are, we're just trying to find answers. We're not pointing a finger and saying we know it's a result of something. We just find that it's a very peculiar time for these to present themselves. And if we weren't paying attention to this, and my hat's off to Richard and John O'Looney, I wouldn't be on out here talking about it if those two brave men hadn't stepped up to the plate and shared what they're seeing. And just by happenstance, I ran into an interview that Richard was on, and I reached out to him, and it took a while for him to respond because I know what it's like. You know, people all over the world are reaching out to us now, and within our own duties and the responsibilities we have, we don't have time to respond to everyone. But everyone has stories. And so as Richard and I have watched the increase in myocarditis, adults just dropping dead, from blood clots. Now, as a coroner, when a pathologist performs a blood an examination, an autopsy, and I just talked to two other coroners this week about it, just because the pathologist said someone's cause of death was a blood clot in the heart, lungs, or brain, where did it form? What caused the blood clot? I just don't think we're looking deep enough to find out what's causing these. And if the people that are trying to talk us down and saying what we're seeing is ludicrous, we're making this up. Richard, John, or I, we're not trying to sell books. We're not trying to sell podcasts. There's no money in it for us. Our greatest hope, and Richard will back me up, is just by sharing what we're seeing with people that are in the medical profession that can do the research. But what if we save someone's life?
Or
what if someone that wants to downplay all of this, what if they had a loved one who died of a blood clot? Do you think that would get their attention, and would they want to know what the hell's going on? I think so. And I'm not afraid to talk out about it.
I'm really glad to hear that, Wallace, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but you as you said, you have nothing to gain here, but actually more to lose, including your reputation by speaking out. But it's because of people that have the courage to speak out that it sparks others to speak out. You know, this is a perfect example. The first interview I did with Richard, it was just he and I. Now there's two of you. So, you know, and for the people that think that these things happen slowly, no, it's not the case. It's just that in order to broadcast all of the progress that's happening all the time, it would be impossible to keep up with all of that. So, Richard, I want to ask you about your observations. In terms of the sudden deaths, you said to me the last time that you were on that many young people were dropping suddenly. And we're now seeing at this point daily headlines of young athletes, TV presenters, radio hosts, well-known household names, and I'm sure many, many others who the mainstream don't deem worthy to write articles about, dropping suddenly. Have you seen an increase in this?
Well, I've noticed an increase. It's still the same as far as younger people. You know, right now, as the new shots are being issued out, it seems like we're getting another influx of the elderly. But, you know, I was at a funeral home just recently. You know, while I was there doing one, they brought another 51-year-old in. I was at a funeral home recently. There's another stillborn there. I've been hearing from funeral directors around saying that, you know, they're seeing an increase in babies. And I'm usually referring to babies that are near full term or stillborn or only live for a few days to a couple of months. Unfortunately, again, because I'm not on the funeral director side of things, I don't get to find out the vaccine status. Of course, they're not giving the newborn the vaccine, but I have heard that some of these mothers had received the vaccines, and you know, and then now they're having to bury their baby, which is heartbreaking. And I would like to bounce off a little bit of what Wallace was just saying about these pathologists that, you know, they sit there and they die of a blood clot. And as you, Maria, you see it all the time now. You see all these reports of people dying with blood clots. The whole point of when I first came out, and people like Wally and all these others, especially like Wally and those of us embalmers that actually see these clots, they're not normal clots. They're fibrin structures. They are not, but they're being chalked up as a clot because they're blocking a vessel, which makes sense. And another thing, Marie, you were asking about cardiologists. And I would like to add that I was recently in Idaho where I had the privilege of meeting Dr. Peter McCullough. And it was an honor to meet him. And, you know, when I was introduced to him, he wasn't like, hey, how are you doing? It was like, I've been meaning to talk to you about something. And he was asking me about these fibrous structures that I've been seeing. And he was saying that in all of his years, because he, you know, he's a teacher. So they would be in a lab where they're working on cadavers, and he would describe when they would cut into the cardiac vessels. Sometimes they would run into clumps of like dark blood, but it would crumble and fall apart in his hand. And I said, that would be normal. That's what a normal blood clot would be like. That's right. There's nothing wrong with that. But he had never seen any of these white fibrous structures in those cardiac vessels in the years that he's been a cardiologist when he's in a cadaver lab working with students. So these clots are not normal. If they were, and they were commonly found in cardiac vessels during their lab work, you would think they would have noticed them, but he didn't notice them.
Or would be able to know what they are now. I mean, just immediately refute right. it and say, no, this is exactly this that we've seen before. But I've been contacted by a cardiovascular surgeon, and he said to me, I think it's this. It looks like it could be something that I've seen before, but hasn't analyzed it himself. And I appreciate his explanation, you know, but it hasn't analyzed it himself. And of course, until we in Australia, it's far more difficult to get people to speak out than it is in the United States. I don't know why people just don't have the courage as funeral directors or coroners. And I want to get back to you, Wallace, on the coroner side of things. But you know, we need more people to be able to get samples of this stuff and look at it, and experts like vascular surgeons and cardiologists to look at these things and see, okay, no, let's rule it out. If it is something that we've seen before, if it's just a coincidence that we're seeing so much of it now, or even if it can be explained that it is something from before, though judging by Mike's analysis, I don't think so, but let's leave that there for the moment. Then, you know, I mean, really, let's just explore it. Let's not just shut this down. Wallace, I want to ask you as a coroner, because as far as I'm aware, here in Australia, coroners, they've been instructed not to perform autopsies. They've been instructed to actually push back on that. What is the case in the United States?
No one's asked our department to stand down on autopsies. We've had pathologists that didn't particularly want to autopsy COVID cases, and there was a slowdown of autopsies during COVID just because we couldn't get the pathologists to do it. And the interesting thing about that was they were still signing these death certificates off as a COVID death, even though it was not a COVID death. I saw the firsthand, I saw the abuse of this, but when a doctor certifies a death on a death certificate, you know, it's gold. You can't get them to change that. But when push came to shove, we would have to transport somebody's up to 2.5 hours away to an air exchange morgue where they would perform the autopsies because the pathologist didn't want to subject themselves to possible infection. But yet we were embalming these bodies. You know, they fed us such a line of garbage about this. It's unbelievable. You know, Richard and I are close to the same age, but I remember when AIDS came around, there were embalmers afraid to embalm AIDS cases because they just didn't know enough about them.
Yes.
And COVID came on the same way. They didn't know a whole lot about it. And look how long it's taken to have a vaccine or drugs to help people that have HIV. But look how quickly they got a vaccine out to supposedly prevent, lessen the symptoms of, and to stop the transfer of COVID. Now, you know, I understand, and Richard and I have discussed this, that early on, we understand why people felt like they needed to be vaccinated. It was the thing to do to protect yourself, to protect your family, everyone around you, protect your communities. It was being a team player. You know, they just scared us into submission almost to be vaccinated. You couldn't shop. You couldn't go to church. You couldn't get on a plane. Supposedly that was all coming down the pike and people felt the need to be vaccinated, but they screamed. What did they scream? follow the science, right, Richard?
Yep.
Masks, social distancing. Why was it that funeral homes could only have 10 people in them, but Walmart, Target, all the big box stores, they could have people in there?
Absolutely.
Churches had to shut down. This was such a line of garbage. You know, I grew up on a farm. I know bad words, but it was total garbage. So when we look at it, what they pushed on us, I understand why people were vaccinated the first time. They followed the science, supposedly. But now, with people like Richard, John O'Looney, the rest of us that are talking out, that are sharing what we're seeing, look what's happened to people like Dr. McCullough. Richard was just speaking about. Look how they've tried to chastise Dr. Cole and Mark Adams. You know, they have attacked these people. They've attacked their credibility. Dr. McCullough lost his credentials at Baylor University because they said these people don't have any peer studies reviews, because they were going out on their own and they were doing research, and they were sharing what they were finding, and now they've been just attacked, which is, to me, is it's just unbelievable. But I think we know the answer to it. You know, you will not get a university hospital or a research hospital to look into this. And you know the reason why, don't you? It's all about money. They're going to lose their funding.
Yes, they'll lose their funding.
I just saw a news alert from, I think it was a natural health organization. One of the drug makers was looking into supposed vaccine accidents associated with their product. I don't know if it's accurate. I haven't had time to look at it, but I guess my question is, if there's just even this shred of evidence that says maybe this isn't good, why are we trying to force it on children now? Why are they asking people to get the fourth and fifth? The president of our country has supposedly had four shots and he's had COVID twice. He's the most protected man in the free world, yet he's caught COVID twice. Are you kidding me? Give me a break.
Well, Walensky also recently claimed that she had COVID. My entire thinking around this is that none of these people have been injected because they know how harmful these injections are. And they're just pretending to have COVID to normalize having a virus after you're supposed to have been protected by it. You know, she came out, I'm grateful for the protection my vaccine offered me. Are you kidding me, Walensky? You weren't offered any protection. First of all, you're not even injected. Number two, you're not meant to continuously catch something after you've been injected against it. It's the most ridiculous load of hogwash. And unfortunately, here's the result. We have multiple people dropping suddenly. I want to know, Wallace, from you as well. Are you and your colleagues also seeing babies and young, a lot of young people?
Can I share something with you from just the past 24 hours? One of the embalmers that helps me just sent me an obituary of a 10-year-old boy in his hometown that died unexpectedly, 10 years old. I said, can you find out about his vaccination status? And he was going to try to do that. There were two people in the same county where my funeral home's located, about 15 miles away, two people under 40 that died the last 48 hours, under 40. Now, you ask about infants. So there's been an increase in sudden fetal demise, and most of those are in that 20 to 26 week range. This past year, maybe 6 months ago, I had a case. The mother had COVID and she went into the hospital and she was treated with remdesivir, and the baby quit moving within 30 to 36 hours. When they transported the baby 2 hours. I mean, we're talking a 24 week fetus. The pathologist was afraid to do an autopsy in the local morgue, so it was transferred to a place where they have this air sterilization system. When I went to the morgue to pick up the fetus and take into my care, I was talking to the other coroner staff, and in a short few week period, there had been five other mothers that lost gestational babies at 22 to 24 weeks. And those five, they determined had been vaccinated. And I reached out to the same coroner's office because I'm a consultant there just yesterday. And since December of 2020, there's been 29 cases of fetal demise in that particular county. And it's a university city. So if you could take with the students and the staff 50,000 off of that. So it's a population of about 120,000 in that county with two hospitals. And 29 in that period of time is a lot of fetal demise. And so when I'm just reporting it, folks, I'm not pointing a finger. I'm sharing you accurate information that came from the files of that county coroner's office. And that's 29. And there is, outside of the fetal demise, the pathologist actually report that does the autopsies in that county reported an 800% increase. 800% increase in the cause of death being blood clots since December 2020.
800%.
If you talk to actuaries with life insurance companies, the death of young adults in that, I think it's 29 to 42 years old, it has risen astronomically. And it's no numbers we're making up or throwing around, but it's easy to research, and it's causing them concern. What's causing that? Well, we know what's causing it, blood clots.
Richard Wallace mentioned something interesting before, which was that the nurse was too scared to perform the autopsy. The pathologist was too scared. Are people actually still afraid of COVID?
I don't think so. I don't know about pathologists in my area, but as far as people in the funeral homes now, I don't think anybody's afraid of it, because for the most part, COVID is a thing of the past. I very rarely get a person that died of COVID. That's just not, I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't ever happen anymore, but it's not something that we see very much. But you know what I do see? I see these clots, you know, even though they're not COVID, they're still there. And that has not slowed down. The different types of clots, like I showed with you the last time we were together, those coffee ground looking clots, I've had two of those in the last few days. And I've had several of these white fibrous structures. So that's nobody's really afraid of the COVID anymore. I don't think.
Have you found it? Well, I'm just, you know, because you mentioned Wallace about the pathologist being afraid, and I just, you know, there are still some people out there. But Richard, are you finding this still exclusively in people who've had the injections or blood treatment?
You know, that's getting harder to find that information anymore because people are so tired of the COVID. They don't want to talk about it no more. I don't know. Now, if I was in a funeral director's position that I was wanting to get this information and just make my notes, it would come up in casual conversation. But unfortunately, I'm not in that position.
Wallace, can you weigh in on that?
I can, because I'm a funeral director as well. And in my funeral home, I meet with most of the families. And I always ask them, I said, just out of curiosity. And most of the folks that I serve know that I lecture around the country, and they're willing to share if their loved one had been vaccinated. And I like Richard, I have since probably early last winter, I haven't had a COVID death. I haven't had a death attributed to COVID. And I think what happened in that from December 20 through early 21, it just got pretty easy for a physician just to sign a death certificate off as COVID-19.
Certainly.
I'm serious. I saw the abuse of it. I knew some of these folks. I knew what they were suffering with. The very first COVID death that we supposedly had, I knew this gentleman well. I knew what his health conditions were. He no more died of COVID than I'm a brain surgeon. He tested positive on Sunday. He died on Monday. He had a congenital heart disease. He had an infection in his leg. He was overweight. A valve was leaking. He was in kidney failure. He was in stage renal failure. And his lung was collapsing. Yet the top line of the death certificate, it said nothing more, nothing less. It said COVID-19. The family was furious. And all the other things that caused his death were listed on a line farther down the death certificate that said other causes possibly contributing to the cause of death.
Possibly.
And with that being said, these families that were furious because COVID-19 was on a death certificate, here in America, land of the free, you get up to $9,000 reimbursement from FEMA if the word COVID-19 appears on a death certificate. You know, depending on what the cost of the funeral was, if it's a cremation, you would only get as much as what that was, but they will reimburse a family up to $9,000 if they file for reimbursement.
We had our health minister come out and say, oh, well, we don't actually know how many deaths. Most were with COVID, not from COVID. You know, we were so unorganized because we're in a pandemic that we, you know, it would be so hard to find out now how many actual deaths from COVID we had. But even the total numbers didn't even add up to the amount of influenza deaths that we've had in the past. And of course, influenza miraculously died and resurrected just this year. So, you know, it the same tactics have been used everywhere. I think where we are right now is we really need answers about these clots. We need to know what it is that's killing people suddenly, because they are dying suddenly. It is a phenomenon. I mean, it's one of the most searched Google terms right now in the world. They can't hide what's happening anymore.
You know what, Maria? I think Richard and I would agree. John O'Looney would agree. What if we got the right people to look into these and they determined that these clots were caused by COVID itself, nothing more, nothing. And so if that's the case, let's find a way to overcome it. And then I still feel good about what we've done, about talking about it, because at least we got someone to listen to us and look into it. And until those people that have their head buried deeply in the sand lose someone close as a result of a blood clot, we're not going to get their attention, because they are just dismissive. Their arrogance is just dismissive to everyone. They're just not going to listen to us.
Or maybe worse still, I just heard of a nurse that said, yes, I know the injections are killing people, but I don't have a choice. I have to keep giving them.
That hurts my feelings a lot. You know, Maria, isn't it still, I mean, and Wally, isn't this still an experimental vaccine?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Well, I mean, I sat there and I pulled up the Nuremberg Code today. Isn't just about everything about the Nuremberg Code being violated worldwide right now?
Yes.
By our governments?
Yes.
And so if that's the case, then and isn't there some, I heard there want some people are wanting amnesty now because of the mistakes they've made. I'm getting really kind of confused and upset, because somebody's going to have to be held responsible when, you know, when half of the world's population realizes they've been poisoned by their own governments. And these companies that are out there forcing their employees to get this vaccine, they too should be held liable for any of the injuries that are put on those people. And again, it breaks every, I mean, I've read over the Nuremberg Code a couple of times that it seems like it just totally goes against everything that we've been, you know, supposedly trying to hold up just to prevent the stuff that happened in Nazi Germany back in the 40s.
Correct.
Well, I don't know if either of you seen this, but just this morning, it was reported that the West Point Military Academy ordered the 20% of its class members to be vaccinated or they would be removed from the academy. You know how hard it is to get into West Point? I don't know, but it's got to be terribly. And the Secretary of Defense ordered this.
Trudeau is telling Canadians basically get vaccinated or else get your boosters or else we don't want to have to see another lockdown. Australia's toying with this language yet again, saying, oh, is there a possibility of Christmas lockdowns? We can't rule them out, but we can't say for sure. You know, we don't think it's going to happen. I made, you know, on your comment about amnesty, Richard, I made the statement that I can't even believe that they would have the nerve to use this language again after everything that they put people through. And don't tell me they don't know that people are dying. Don't tell me they don't know that this is happening. There is no way that they don't see the excess mortality in every single country just based on regular data. You don't even have to go digging for this. This is government data. And they don't know what's happening?
Absolutely. Maria, the last time we spoke, you know, there's a part of me that, you know, we don't need to be each other's enemies, the vaccinated against the unvaccinated. We need to remember, because this truth is coming out. I really did not want to believe this was some kind of a conspiracy to try to depopulate the world. But the more they continue to do what they're doing, I'm sorry. I've always been afraid to sit there and 100% say, you know, it's the vaccine causing this, but it's getting to the point now, Maria. You know what? I believe it is. I believe it's the vaccine causing this because I've had people that were not COVID, did not have COVID, but were vaccinated and have these clots. There's so many things that are out there. I know there was a couple that were not, but had received some form of a transfusion.
Which would mean it's not the spike protein, as some have suggested, you know, a buildup of the spike protein causing these clots. If they haven't had COVID, I mean, whether we really can diagnose for COVID or not is a whole other discussion. I don't believe the PCR test does diddly squat. But if they haven't had COVID, but they've been injected, that would suggest it's not the spike protein from the virus doing this, it's literally from the vaccine.
Right. I agree. I agree. But you know, I since the last time we spoke, I've become more and more enraged. I've unfortunately was sent a couple of hit pieces on me trying to say that the photographs that I have are unsubstantiated. There's no scientific proof. And I'm sitting there like, my God, I've got vials and vials of this stuff and all these pictures in it. And listen to Wallace. This is why I love Wallace being on something like this here, because he speaks to groups of, you know, whether it's 25, 50, 100 people or more of embalmers. And when he's asking these questions, hey, have you guys seen these things prior to the last, you know, couple of years? And the answer is no. And they've all been seeing this since then. Again, the cardiologist you talk to, he thinks he says it's something. Fine. If that's a rare case, then how come I have over 150, getting close to 200 pictures of different bodies with these same type of clots? Why is it all of a sudden after 20 some years, I had an embalmer tell me one time, and I never thought about it. There was one of the hit pieces early on that said, oh, it's because of refrigeration. Oh, give me a break. You don't think I've embalmed bodies that have been refrigerated for a week? But she made a point to me, and she said, you know, back about 12 to 15 years ago, a lot of the mortuaries stopped embalming at night. If it was because of delayed embalming, we would have seen these clots 10, 15 years ago. We did not see these things until last year, early last year. And so something has changed. I don't care what it is. And all those hit pieces, you can tell me what you want. I know what I know. This stuff isn't normal. But unfortunately right now, Maria, it's becoming normal. And these newer embalmers that are coming in, this is what they're going to get used to seeing. And only us old timers that have been in this business for a length of time know that this isn't right. But these new kids on the block, this is going to become normal. And nobody will even know the difference if it just gets swept under the rug.
What you're saying is incredibly profound there, Richard, because the new generation of doctors, the new generation of embalmers, the new generation of anyone in any type of health industry is going to be used to people dying suddenly, people, you know, young people dropping, these types of clots. It'll probably be blamed on climate change. While they're studying their degrees, they'll be told it's climate change. I'm serious. Like, I know we're laughing, but Wallace, this is it's going to happen. You know?
You're right. You're right.
And so if we don't educate these people now and get them to unthink what the system is teaching them, humanity is in serious hot water.
Listen, it was so bad in Canada. I have a good friend in Canada. And he's a funeral director, and he's involved in a sales portion of funeral service now. Through COVID, if you weren't vaccinated, you had to go to the supermarket between 8 a.m. and 9:30. And then after 9:30, if you're vaccinated, you could go. You know what the biggest, one of the largest causes of death on a death certificate in Canada is right now? Undetermined. I'm not making it up. Research it.
Yes.
Undetermined deaths in Canada.
Yes. Even doctors. How can that be? Even doctors in Canada are dropping dead. I mean, right now we're being told we have a GP shortage here. We've got shortages of nursing staff. Well, I wonder why. Number one, you fired the ones that were uninjected. Number two, the ones who are injected now are always off sick because their immune systems have been destroyed, or they're dead. I'm sorry to put it so bluntly, but that is the reality of the situation. And they're not dead from COVID. They're dead from these death shots.
Yeah, they were frontline heroes before the vaccine, weren't they?
They were. And, you know, this is why even conversations like this are so crucial. Richard, what you were saying before, we can't forget. We can't forget what they did to us. Even Wallace talking about the wrong reasons being put on death certificates. A lot of people forgot about that. I have a personal acquaintance who the three detectives turned up to the hospital and said, your uncle needs to have COVID on his death certificate. So what are three detectives doing here telling me that my uncle who died from a heart attack needs to have COVID on his death certificate? What business do they have here? These are real things that happened. And we can't forget that. We can't forget the crime and the fraud that they were capable of and are very capable of achieving again. And if I'm correct, and this entire thing was about depopulation, which I believe it was wholeheartedly, they will do it again.
I agree. You know, I've gotten calls, and the ones that break my heart, Maria, are the people that are sick. They want to know if I know something that will help them. And so many of them have spent so much money. Some of them have lost their jobs. And they've lost their insurance. They can't afford to go and get some help from some of these places. And it just tears me up inside. And again, that's kind of like, remember who did this to you. These people that got vaccinated because of their job, then got sick and couldn't hold their job, now loses all of their benefits, so they can't hardly get any help to get better.
Yes.
I'm like, it just infuriates me. It infuriates me. And I'm glad there's a clinic that I went to a few weeks back. It's called the Biologic Center, and it's in Tennessee. And they are working on trying to help people. And I've sent to them a person that was vaccine injured. And so far she's been doing remarkably well. You know, it's still experimental. I mean, you know, but it's still, I mean, at least there's places that are trying to help people, but it's expensive because these places are not funded by big pharma and by insurance companies. They do these things outside of that realm. And it's hard because you know that these people need help, but it's going to cost, you know, maybe $10,000 to $15,000 for them to get that help.
Do you know what they've just done in Australia? They've just put restrictions, further restrictions on people like those who practice outside of the system, natural medicine, even chiropractors. You know, God forbid you went to a different kind of specialist to try and get some assistance. They're actually blocking people. And this legislation, these laws recently came in on purpose, I believe, to block people from seeking help outside of the pharmaceutical systems for their vaccine injuries.
Maria, what you just said, this kind of a clinic is one of those clinics. And I'm going to tell you, I've had a vaccine injured friend now that I met through this in Ireland. And these different places, these people that are getting some help, and it's not a cure-all, but it seems like they're getting more help from the alternative medicine than they are from the pharmaceutical industry that's in existence right now. And what you just said, they're trying to prevent those people from practicing. That tells me again, this is on purpose. They want you sick, if not dead.
Yes. Yes, they do. And this is exactly why it is so crucial to keep having these conversations. My prayer last time that you and I spoke, Richard, was that you would spark courage in others to speak out. I am again calling for Australian funeral directors, coroners, embalmers, any whistleblowers, contact me through zmedia.com. Go to the contact section on the website. There's a specific section for whistleblowers. You need to speak out. If we don't, I mean, we are watching the complete destruction of our world before our very eyes and people dying. And if you're one of those nurses or doctors that says, I know these injections are killing people, but I don't have a choice. I have to keep going. God help you is all I can say to you. May you learn. May you turn from your wicked ways, because that is just heinous. You're doing exactly what Nazi nurses did in Germany. And let me tell you, that excuse didn't fly for them when the time came.
That's right. And God is the only thing that gives me hope, Marie, is God wins in the end. I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe that if we turn from our ways and we try to acknowledge him and repent, that he can heal us. Now, I'm pretty sure you're aware there's a documentary coming out called Died Suddenly.
Yes.
And these guys that are a part of that, you know, they came and they were here with me at my house for about 3 days. What I love about what they've been doing is they didn't come here just to listen to me and just to see what I have to say. They have been researching and digging into. I got a feeling, Maria, this documentary, Died Suddenly, that's coming out next Monday, it's going to be pretty eye-opening, because, you know, they have been talking to so many people in different areas that all seems to come to the same conclusion here.
Well, I'm so glad that people like you, Richard and Wallace, are speaking out. I'm glad that the Stu Peters Network is working on this documentary. They've done some tremendous work over this time. I'm glad to be working with them. And, you know, there are just so many great people out there, and I don't want people to lose hope. Even though these topics are difficult, even though the discoveries we make are difficult, with each step that we take, with each conversation, with each new discovery, we get closer to revealing the truth to the masses. And I'm just grateful for both of your time today and for you helping us to do that.
Richard and I don't believe that we're afraid. I'm concerned. I've reached out to my funeral homes in one county. Our home is about 6 miles away in another county. And I've reached out to both county sheriffs and told them, listen, I'm talking about things that aren't so popular. And if anything happens to me or any of my family or to our business I said, it's not on purpose by us. I just want you to know, if something happens, you need to look further than what you may think is obvious. And it's not that I expect it, but listen, it's ruthless out there, you know?
I think a lot of people aren't aware of the very real threat and cost of speaking out. But every single person that I've encountered that's done it is a person of integrity and generally quite fearless. And I really respect that.
Can I tell you why some funeral directors and embalmers can't talk about it or won't talk about it? Sure. It's because they work for big corporations. They have rules. No cameras, no phones in the embalming room. You don't talk about what you see. If you talk about it, if you share photos, you will be dismissed.
Yeah.
And you know, there's three but large...
Wallace, there are whistleblower protections in the United States. We don't have the same protections here, but there are in the United States. You know, if more people, again, it just goes back to what I said from the very beginning. If more people just said no and came out and exposed it, this could have been done 2 years ago. It's that simple. So the same solution applies today. Say it no, does. Speak I out, agree. And continue doing what is right if we have any chance of taking these criminals down. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and for your contribution to this important, important mission for humanity.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a good fight.
Z Media is the leader in independent media in Australia. Head to zmedia.com and the interviews page for all of my latest interviews with experts from across the world, contributions on The Stu Peters Show and weekly Zero Time broadcasts. You'll also find another videos page on there where you can stay informed about what's happening around the world. In the merch section, men's tees, women's tees, long sleeve tees, unisex hoodies and kids merch, you can support us on the support page and also head to our affiliates page to support the businesses that choose to partner with us.